But that was the size of her freshman class down in New Mexico. So she came from a school that was high school or in four times the size of her whole school, central school. And she said to me later, she said, you know, Mom, it's so nice to be able to walk down the hallway in school, hold your head up high, and talk to anybody. You knew everybody in the hallway. No matter what grade they were in, you knew them. You could say hi to them. I says, what do you mean, honey? She says, well, in New Mexico, when you walk down the hall, you look at the ground. She says, because if you made eye contact with the wrong kids, you were afraid because there was gangs. You know, it was a real... She said, and then when you walked in the bathroom, if certain people were in there, you turned around and walked back out again. You didn't stay. I says, for God's sakes, that's no way to go through high school. So she was petrified that her freshman year at Alma Gordo, she was, and then I come to find out a few weeks ago, she was to skip school. I sit there going, oh yeah, Andy and I used to skip school. And how come I didn't know this? She says, well, we get home and when they left a message on the answering machine, we erased it. And it was before caller ID, so I couldn't go through and see who had called. So I says, oh. She says, yeah, Mom, if I had been skipping school probably in freshman year, I probably would have been valedictorian or class there in Emerson, because she was like fourth in the class in Emerson. I says, oh, okay, things you learn, you know, 6 years down the road. But after I heard that, I was so glad we left New Mexico and got here, because I don't know what would have happened with Garrett, though. I mean, he's just, you know, you. I don't know if you worry so much about your daughter, but guys will tend to, I would have worried about him. I think she would have been all right, but, so, you know, things would have been so much different. She might not be a PhD student if we stayed in New Mexico. She might have just barely passed high school, you know what I mean? So, because if she couldn't go to school. So I think, yeah, I guess things happen for a reason. So anyway, so that's my kids. They have, and I think they've really helped them moving around. Same with me. They're pretty outgoing. They're two different kids because Garrett, you know, when we moved from Tucson to Alma Gordo, and we just dropped, and he was in second grade, we took him to his room, and he goes, see you, Mom. He sat down at his table, see you, Mom. See you guys later. Dropped our daughter off. He was second. Dropped her off as fourth grader. And, of course, and put her at her desk, and there was a girl there right next to her was crying. So she didn't want to stay. I said, honey, you've got to stay. So we made her stay. And my husband and I were walking down the hallway, and pretty soon there was these arms wrapped around my arm. Mom, don't leave me. It was the hardest thing I had ever had to do. I says, honey, you have to stay. So we took her back to her room, put her back in her chair, and it got better. She was fine after that. And she's always been that way. Garrett, he'll try anything new once. He's just, you know, go for it. She, no, I don't want to do that. We have to make her do it. And then once she's done it, it's like, oh, this is fun. Why did I ever, you know? So that's my kids. They're two different kids. And I guess kids, that's the way they are. You know, you can't treat them. They're not a mold. So I hopefully, but they're really good kids. I'm not disappointed. They have never disappointed us. They might have exasperated us at times, but they never really disappointed us. They've been really, we're happy for them. We're proud of them. So the people they've turned out. Okay.
Now I have one more question for you since we are getting to the point where it's been an hour.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
Now you are not the first one in your family to have done an interview for the CGP program.
No.
Your grandmother and your aunt have both done it. How does it feel to be carrying on this sort of a family tradition?
Well, it's kind of neat. The first, I didn't realize my grandmother had been interviewed. And we were going through the tapes. Wayne's my boss. He is very into family history. Not just his own, but everybody else around him. So he knows who I'm related to. you know, he listens and he picks up on that thing. So we knew, because my Aunt Irene, my uncle's wife, worked over at the Farmers Museum. She was a museum teacher, and she was a weaver. So he knew her, and he knew the last name Sholto. So one day he was going through, he keeps track of all the oral histories he's writing, and he was looking for something on somebody else. And he's going through his books, and he goes, Sholto. He goes, and he comes up to me. He goes, do you know this person? I says, by God, that's my grandmother. He says, yes, back in 1977. I can't remember who what student was, but did an interview with her. It was after my grandfather had passed away in 76. And I got to listen to it. So I went and got the tape player and the headphones and the tape, and I listened to it. And it was like going back in time. I could hear her refrigerator kick in, I could just picture the refrigerator. She had a clock out in the kitchen that had, it was a mantle clock, and that was clicking. And I can imagine listening to her. She's sitting in her chair over one side of the sitting room, and I could be sitting in Grandpa's chair right across from her, and just by listening to her talk, and there was things she talked about that I didn't know. I mean, because they used to take the milk to the cheese factory there in town, in Burlington. So there was things that she did when her and Grandpa first got married, or as a kid too, that I didn't realize, and the way things were. So it was just so, and then she got talking about Grandpa. And then she got really whispery and, you know, kind of choked up. She didn't say so much because it had been about a year, I think, I hadn't even been a year at this point. And, but it was just, I couldn't believe it that she, you know, and so I cried. Sorry. But, you know, it was just like, I mean, this must have been, I started working here in 2002, 2003. And she had passed away in 93. So it was about 10 years after she'd passed away that I was listening to this, you know. So it was like, it was kind of like, and plus, okay. And then last year for the oral history, my aunt, my mom's sister who lives out here in Cooperstown, who goes to the First Baptist Church, Marjorie Shellhammer. Oh, my grandmother was Verna Sholto. And so... since she was interviewed by the graduates, I never listened to her, and I did. I was going to go to the presentation, but I think it was at night, and there was something going on, so I didn't. But yes, it was. So yeah, I'm the third. I guess you would say I'm the third generation, because Aunt Marge is my mother's generation, so I'm the next generation of our family that's being interviewed. So, and that grandma. Oh, let me do this real quickly because I wanted. That grandmother Sholto that was interviewed, she taught me to sew. That was my, so when she passed away, she had this big old wooden ironing board that was wrapped in a white sheet. Sucker was heavy, but I would go up there and she would first sew in for her sewing class, and I'd have to get that sucker out. And it was heavy, but you know, and so when grandma passed away, I got her the ironing board that I had to lug out every time. And the cabinet that her sewing machine sat in. So those are two things that really hold, you know, that I had gotten. I think that's the only thing that I really got from her. Because with 19 grandchildren, things, you know, there wasn't a whole lot left. And then, Aunt Wilma, the one I was telling you about, she taught me to knit. And I know how to knit. She taught, we had several 4-H projects that we did through with them. And my grandma Limerick taught me how to crochet. So that's the kind of oral history. I mean, that's my family. That's how I, you know, growing up, that's my remembrance of my aunts. They were part of my growing up. They had some part of my great aunts and my grandmother. They had some part of, you know, developing who I am. Not just my mother, who I mean, she taught me to cook, and there are other things that she taught me. But yes, that's my family. They make me who I am. What I like to do, because I love to garden. My grandmother and grandfather, they gardened. That was their, you know, they had flower beds, rose bushes. And so does Aunt March. Aunt March is, that's where she gets that from. She has the rose bushes and the flowers. She, you know, she, her and her husband used to, they have got flower beds. He's passed away, but yeah. So yes, so that's my, you know, there we go. That's, I am carrying on the tradition. So maybe someday in the near future, maybe, you know, like 20 years from now, my daughter will be able to get interviewed, or maybe somebody from that generation will be able to get interviewed, you know. But everybody else has pretty much moved away. My cousins, there's not, basically my family are the only ones that haven't stayed in the area. The rest of those 19 have spread out so that, you know, they don't live in this area, in what I would say Oxygo County. Oh, there is one. No, Nancy still lives in, you know. So, anyway, but out of 19, you know, that's not a whole lot. You know, stayed in the area. The rest all took off. So, okay.
Well, is there anything else you would like me to ask you? Anything I should be asking you?
I don't know. See, I guess it's get me started. I can start, you know, but that's how I remember growing up in Cooperstown. Or in this area, and there has been a lot of changes. I don't always agree. I don't think it's always for the best. I mean, because I like quiet, you know, and I like to be able to stroll down Main Street Cooperstown in the summertime and not have to worry about people walking five abreast and not letting you go through, which I think is very rude. I think tourists sometimes are very rude. So I'm going to sit there, elbow them, and just let me get out of the way. So anyway, but yeah, I do. Family is a big part, and I don't think nowadays the extended family is utilized as much as they used to. You know, I mean, my mom used to spend a lot of time with her aunts, her great aunts. Her grandparents, you know, she spent a lot, you know, and I did too, but I think it's gradually getting away from that to where, I don't know, my kids know my mom's siblings and my father's siblings, not so much my husband's siblings. Maybe it's just because I was closer to my aunts. Bob was not. His father, they grew up on the farm, and, you know, they didn't do a whole lot of, they would go once or twice to family gatherings, but, you know, there was always farm work to do. You know, it was a different intensity, I guess you would say. Bob's father was very, you know, there was a lot of stress in there. So he, but my father was more of a, I mean, my parents were very frugal, I would say. You know, if something broke, they fixed it. Bob's folks, on the other hand, went out and bought a new one. So that the deeper and deeper in debt, you know, farm equipment is not cheap. So, and so I think his folks had a lot of stress, financial, something stuff that's brought on themselves. My parents did not. They did not have the debt to. So we were able to take time away to go visit family, to go, because I mean, we went to Rochester camping one weekend, or the western part of the state, to visit my father's cousin that had a campground out there. So I mean, not too many farmers are able to get away for a week like that, but mom and dad had it to where it wasn't, my uncle would come down and take over do the chores for a week for us, you know, just so we could get away. Not that we did it every year, but I do remember doing that, loading us up in the truck with the camper on the back, and the kids, we all kids were in the back as they were, And so we were able to do that. So Bob's family, not they couldn't get away like my family. So maybe that's it. Maybe it's not just, it's just the people, you know, different situations. But, you know, because I grew up on the farm at the same time Bob was growing up at the farm. So he has a different outlook at farming than I do, I think. But then again, he was a boy, you know, he drove tractor. You know, I didn't drive tractor. I cooked supper. And I helped get the meal on the table. I watched the younger kids, so I guess my roles on the farming part was different than what Bob remembers. And he couldn't wait to get away from the farm. Me, you know, I enjoyed it. I liked it. I mean, it's... but now that he's been away and he's come back, he doesn't mind it so much. I guess you can take the boy away from the farm, but not the farm out of the boy, no matter how unhappy you are, you know, at the time. But anyway, I guess I ramble on. I tell ya, get me thinking about things. So, but no, I do enjoy growing up in the farm. And you know, we're looking at buying some alpacas maybe sometime down the road. So we'll have animals, and we want to have chickens. And you know, we got 10 acres of land. We can, you know, we could grow a little bit bigger garden if the damn deer will stay out of it. But you know, I guess that's what it is. We're trying to, you know, I mean, when I was a kid, we grew everything, you know, vegetables. Mom, we froze all the vegetables out of the garden. We never bought vegetables in the store. The meat we butchered. We had beef as much as, you know, that's, so we got our, and of course the milk, all the milk you wanted to drink. So I think we were really pretty self-sufficient and self-reliant. So I think kind of want to get back. You know, and then you want to get back to it when you get older. I do. I want to get back to the point where you're really more, you take, you know, you're more self-reliant. You're not having to rely on, you know, others for your food and stuff. So put a windmill up and not have to worry about paying Isaac either.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much, Joanne.
You're welcome.
This concludes the oral history interview.